Just over 2 weeks ago, I made it back home after spending over 2 weeks on Sakhalin Island, Russia, for Sakhalin Energy. Sakhalin Energy is partially owned by Shell Oil Company, and that's my contact for going over there. Several of you have mentioned that you prayed for my safety and success, and I wanted to express to you my appreciation, and thank you very much for your prayers. The Shell guy and I, Arthur Hale, spent over 2 weeks to look at three platform rigs that I could normally do in 3 days. But because of the logistics and the weather, it took over 2 weeks. The logistics included overnight, both ways, 12.5-hour sleeper car train rides to get from the Sakhalin Energy office in Yuzhno-Sakhalinsk on the southern tip of Sakhalin Island. And Sakhalin Island is just north of Japan. If you look at the map, you'll see the north end of Japan stops, and not too far to the north, Sakhalin Island starts. And Sakhalin Energy's in partners with ExxonMobil in a town named Nogliki, N-O-G-L-I-K-I, and they have a camp there, heliport, and a boat dock. And so it was a 12.5-hour train ride overnight from Yuzhno-Sakhalinsk to get to Nogliki. And we went out on the first rig and came back in and then had to wait 4 or 5 days for the fog to clear. One guy facetiously said that they have 9 months of snow there and 3 months of fog. The water's cold, so in order to go to fly out, you have to wear a rubber survival suit that I explained to you about going through the training down in Houston, where they put you in the helicopter, turn you upside down, you got to get out. Well, thankfully, I didn't need to use any of the training that I had taken during this trip. When I got to Sakhalin Energy, they were giving me the schedule, and the first thing they do is tell me they want to transfer me on Saturday morning from one place to another. And I said, whoa. I said, I'm a Seventh-day Sabbath keeper. And so we need to do this on Friday or do it on Sunday. I can't do it on Saturday. I'm a Seventh-day Sabbath keeper. And so they respected that and worked with me there. I spent the first Sabbath on the first rig we went to by myself in the cabin. There's probably 200 people on one of these rigs, plus or minus. And so everybody's stuck in a room, and there's two bunks, top and bottom, so there's four of us in this room. But it just happened on the Sabbath there wasn't anybody in the room but me. So I had a good Sabbath on the rig. The next Sabbath, they forced me to leave the second rig on Friday afternoon. And so I thought their plan was that, so I got on this big long work boat called a Heimdall, that they would force me to get off on the third rig on the Sabbath morning, on Saturday morning. And I didn't want to do that because when you go on one of these offshore rigs for the first time, they run you through a safety briefing. They show you where your lifeboat is. They show you where the life rafts are. They show you where the muster point is. They go through the horn sounds and what they mean. And all of this takes about an hour. And so I expected them to force me to go through that on the second Sabbath. And so I got up early. I had called the rig supervisor on the third rig on Friday afternoon and asked him to leave me on the second rig until Sunday morning and transfer me from the second rig to the third rig on Sunday morning. Well, they forced me to leave about 6 p.m., and the Sabbath started about 9 p.m. over there. And so I expected them to force me to get off on Saturday morning. And I went down early to eat and to look at the transfer list, and my name had a line through it. God worked that out better than I tried to work it out. See, I stayed on that boat 2 days. I had my cabin to myself for the second Sabbath, In both cases, I was able to rest, to sleep, to listen to a sermon tape from the home office, to pray and study and do everything I was supposed to do. And so I had a good trip. Good trip. And so I'm really glad to be safely home, and I do appreciate your prayers. I'm not through with the project yet because the shell guy and I have to write a report and turn it in by the end of August. How many of you remember or have heard of Elvis Presley? Anybody? Can I see your hands? Elvis was a singer, as most of you know, who became famous during the 1950s, the 1960s, and the 1970s. He recorded, according to Wikipedia, 760 songs and sold over 1 billion records. Elvis starred in 33 movies. Elvis was a fellow Mississippian. He was born in Tupelo, Mississippi on January the 8th, 1935, and he died prematurely, unfortunately, at a young age of 42 at his Memphis home, Graceland, on this very day, August the 16th, 1977. So there's a celebration going on in Memphis, Tennessee right now. They had a candlelight vigil last night that normally lasts all night, where people walk by his grave with a candle. So this is the 37th anniversary of Elvis's death. And there's, of course, this week-long Elvis celebration going on right now in Memphis with people from all over the world attending. So I'm blessed to have Sirius XM radio in the Ford F-150 that I drive. And Sirius XM Channel 19 is the all Elvis station that I listen to a lot when I'm driving alone. One of the, and I am an Elvis fan, and she told me to tell you that. You know, I don't like what his life came to, and I don't like the pills and the drugs or whatever that ended up taking his life prematurely. And he has got a great version of How Great Thou Art. I've told Donna several times that I hope he has that voice when he's resurrected and he can sing that at the feast. Be great. One of the Elvis songs that intrigued me was If I Can Dream. The DJ that introduced this song, I think it was the first time that I heard it on Channel 19, said that Elvis sang this song only once, and with so much feeling and emotion that his backup singers had tears in their eyes when he finished the song. Elvis sang If I Can Dream to conclude his TV comeback special in 1968. According to Wikipedia, Elvis had a discussion with his producer about how to end this show. You see, Elvis had made all these films, and he hadn't been on tour and entertaining like he did in the 50s and early 60s. Yeah. So he had this TV comeback special, and he was talking with the producer about how to end the show. And the two had discussed Elvis's dismay over the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy. And so the producer was struck by the conversation and ordered Walter Earl Brown, a songwriter working on the show, to come up with a song incorporating Presley's concern to use as the finale for his comeback special show. Earl Brown said that when Elvis recorded this song, he saw the three backup singers have tears rolling down their cheeks because of the emotion that Elvis had put into that song. So now, I want to ask Mr. Wes Curtis to please play Elvis's song, If I Can Dream. And I'd like for you to listen very carefully to the words, because I want to use the words in the song as a takeoff for the rest of my message today. Now, Ms. Cagle told me I shouldn't play this song. So, you can tell me afterwards if you think it was okay for me to play it. Mr. Curtis. Hey, I'm going to use this Elvis song, If I Can Dream, as a springboard to talk about the dreams that Elvis had for a better world that are not going to come true in this age of man and Satan that Mr. Dennis spoke about today, but will come true in the millennium when Jesus Christ is ruling this earth. The title that I've given this sermon is Dreams That Will Come True. Dreams That Will Come True. As I've mentioned, I believe Mr. and Ms. Nunn and Don and I are scheduled to go to Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe to keep the feast this year. We have less than 2 months to go to the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles on the evening of October the 8th. I noticed a full moon a few days ago, actually last Sunday, on August the 10th. So the Feast of Tabernacles is 2 full moons away from being here, beginning on the evening of October the 8th. So the message that I'm giving today, I'm practicing on you. It's one that I plan to give at the feast in Victoria Falls if Ebola doesn't interrupt our trip. So I'm practicing for the feast here today. Verse 1, there must be lights burning brighter somewhere, Elvis sang. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. The reason Elvis's dreams are not going to come true in this age, the reason our climate is not better and birds not flying higher in a bluer sky, I believe, is twofold. Number one, Satan is the god of this world, a topic of Mr. Dennis's message this morning. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, we read that, and I'll refer you to some of these scriptures. And Satan is involved in some of our climatic catastrophes, as he was in the calamities that came upon Job that we can read about in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. And secondly, the second reason why I believe our climate is not better, that the lights are not burning brighter and the birds are not flying higher in a bluer sky, is because of mankind's sins. Sins have consequences. God provides blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And we can read about the curses that come on Israel in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Turn there, please. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 15. God has just got through going through all of the blessings that would come on Israel, and we will review some of those here shortly. But in verse 15, he begins to enumerate the curses that are going to come because of disobedience, because of the sins. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. To be cursed in the city, be cursed in the country, be cursed in their food supply, your basket and your kneading bowl, in verse 17. our children would be cursed. And the produce of the land would be cursed. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks would all be cursed. Verse 18. Every which way you turn, verse 19, you'll be cursed when you go out and when you come in. And he'll have the plague cling to you in verse 21. He'll strike you with, verse 22, with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And it just gets worse. There'd be droughts and famine. And your heavens, verse 23, over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust, for the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. It just goes on and on. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Your carcasses, verse 26, shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And then there'd be diseases come upon us that we couldn't be healed of. Verses 27, 28. Strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. And look at all the diseases we have that there is no healing for, like Alzheimer's. Cancer is a huge killer, a horrible disease. We've got a lot of these things that there's no medical thing we can do to help or heal. And you shall, verse 29, grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. And so some of what's going wrong with us in our weather, in our climate, I believe is Satan's doing. And some of it is due to our own sins as a nation. When Jesus Christ returns to take over this earth and establish the kingdom of God on this earth, Satan is going to be bound, as we understand from keeping the Day of Atonement, and unable to deceive the world any longer except for a short time after the millennium. And I would refer you to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 10. Then the blessings that God promised to Israel for obedience will come upon all of mankind who obey Him. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 6, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Everything is going to go your way, God said. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Your children will be blessed. The produce of your ground will be blessed. The increase of your herds, your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks will all be blessed. And your food supply will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come out and when you go in. And down to verse 12. The Lord will open to you, speaking of climate, will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. The climate will be so good, and the crops so bountiful, that the plowman will overtake the reaper. The crops will be so bountiful that they won't all get gathered in before it's time to plow it up and replant. So good. The desert will blossom like the rose, according to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. The desert is going to blossom like the rose. Verse 1 of Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. My Donna was born in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and New Mexico is the land of enchantment, is their state. After we got married in 68, she wanted me to go out to Las Cruces and meet her grandparents. We got a little ways into that desert, and I asked her where the enchantment was. When I see a New Mexico license plate, though, you know, it tugs at my heart a little bit, and I reach over and I squeeze her knee. So I'll be off on the road somewhere, and I'll see a New Mexico license plate, and I kid her that they're always going east. I don't see them going west. And so I'll call her and ask if she felt her knee be squeezed. And the last one I saw was in Houma, Louisiana. It was a New Mexico license plate. Anyway, that desert out there is going to blossom as the rose when God fixes everything. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. And down in verse 6, last part. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. So it's going to be a great time. And everyone will sit under his own fig tree and not be afraid, according to Micah 4, verse 4. And even the nature of animals are going to be changed. Back in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lion. The wolf today would have a meal out of the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the same goes there. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child that these animals would attack and kill and maul today shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The lion is a carnivore, and God's going to change his digestive system to where he'll digest grass instead of meat. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den, so the snakes won't be poisonous. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. So Elvis's dreams of lights burning brighter somewhere and birds flying higher in a sky more blue are going to come to pass in the millennium, the world beyond today. Going on in the latter part of verse 1, if I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why can't my dream come true? The reason that Elvis's dream of his brothers walk hand in hand will not come true in this age is explained in Amos 3, verse 3, where two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. In Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And God is speaking to Israel here, the children of Israel in verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? So the children of Israel were not agreeing with God. And therefore they could not walk together in obedience to God. And so this world is not in agreement and therefore cannot walk together in harmony. The Drudge Report yesterday morning, August the 15th, had a headline, World at War, Only 11 Countries Free of Conflict. There's just under 200 nations, if you look it up on the internet, 190-something. In the world today. And Drudge is saying that this headline is only 11 countries out of that almost 200 that don't have any conflict going on. This world cannot walk together because it is not agreed. Why is it not agreed? Two reasons. Number one, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Beginning in verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan is broadcasting like a radio station, like a TV station. He's putting out a signal, and it's disobey, disobey, disobey. Be perverse, be perverse. So Satan is a prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, and he's prompting people to go into more perversion, more evil, more sin. God has allowed Satan to have the power in this age to blind the minds who do not believe. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 that I mentioned earlier. Let's turn there this time. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In verse 3, we read the Apostle Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan is the god of this age, and God is allowing him to blind the minds of those who don't believe. In the parable of the sower, the first seed fall by the pathway, by the wayside. And Satan comes and snatches those away. And Jesus interpreted that is that when somebody hears the word and doesn't get it, well, here comes Satan to snatch it away and make sure they stay in unbelief. So it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and he continues to blind. And so Satan has the power to blind the minds of mankind in order to deceive the whole world, which we read in Revelation 12, verse 9, that he deceives the whole world. And a second reason why mankind is not agreed is that Adam and Eve took mankind down the wrong path when they disobeyed God. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, contrary to God's instructions, and they disobeyed. And they brought on themselves the death penalty. And we read about that, of course, in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. and all of Adam and Eve's descendants, including you and me, have followed in Adam and Eve's sinful footsteps. But all of this is going to change. It's all going to change. And Elvis's dream of brothers walking hand in hand is going to come true in the world beyond today. All will know God from the least to the greatest. Won't need to be any evangelist trying to introduce people to God. In Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31. Beginning in verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more, verse 34, shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And in order to know God, then everyone has to repent and accept the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ to cover our sins. And so everyone is going to know God from the least to the greatest. There won't need to be any evangelism towards. Everybody will know God from the least to the greatest. And so the knowledge of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. We read in Isaiah 11, verse 9. And when someone begins to have thoughts of sin enter their mind, they'll hear a voice behind them saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Isaiah the 30th chapter. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. They won't be remote and hard to reach. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk you in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So sin will be stopped before it starts. And we read in the book of James that sin starts with a thought that we dwell on and eventually perform. And so your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So Elvis's dreams of a better land and brothers walk hand in hand is going to come to pass in the world beyond today, when there's universal repentance and universal conversion, where there's one God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, and His way being obeyed by everyone. Verse 2. There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear? The history of mankind has been one war after another. Nations have used the brief times of peace to build up arms to prepare for the next round of war. You remember the Drudge headline that there's only 11 nations on this earth that don't have conflict internal to their nation? So Elvis's dream of peace and understanding is not going to come to pass in this age, but will occur in the age to come. In fact, the time is coming when the nations are not going to learn war anymore. In Isaiah, the second chapter. They're not going to learn war anymore. In verse 4 of Isaiah 2. He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They'll take all these war implements and turn them into agricultural implements. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. All of the war colleges out of business. No more sacrificing and maiming many of our youngest and brightest on the altar of war. When God's kingdom is installed, the peace that is going to come will increase forever. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. The peace is going to keep on increasing. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. He's going to be the king over all of this earth. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. His government and his peace is going to expand and increase and multiply forever and ever upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. No end to peace, and peace increasing forever. How is this even possible? With God, all things are possible, Jesus said. So Elvis's dreams of peace, understanding, and hope in the absence of doubt and fear will all come to pass in the millennium, the world beyond today. Verse 3. We're lost in a cloud with too much rain. We're trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. But as long as man has the strength to dream, he can redeem his soul and fly. In our current world, we seem to receive either too much or too little rain. Right now, the U.S. has serious drought problems in several parts of our country. Out in California, for example. A few weeks ago on Drudge, there was a headline that mentioned several Texas towns, north and south of San Antonio, who the headline said only had 45 days of water left. And so I personally believe that some of these droughts that are going on is punishment from God for our disobedience as a nation. Every time another one of the states okays gay marriage, I think another nail in our coffin. We just drove another nail in our coffin. So our world is troubled with pain, especially for those who have no hope. And the precious truth that you and I have and understand gives us hope. And we're better able to handle the tough situations and trials that come our way. So we're better able to handle some of the pain that comes our way because of the sure hope that we have of being in the kingdom of God. Verse 4. deep in my heart, there's a trembling question. Still, I am sure that the answer is going to come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle. And while I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream, please let my dream come true right now. Let it come true right now. Oh, yeah. So Elvis concludes this song with the deep desire for his dreams to come true now. Well, those dreams didn't come true for Elvis then, and he ruined his life because of the things that he did and he got into. And I look forward to the day when he comes back to life and he can have all of these dreams that he wanted to come true back then be a reality. They're all going to come true in the world beyond today. In the world beyond today, it's going to be better than we've even thought or dreamed. Romans, the third chapter. It's going to be better than we've ever dreamed. Romans 3. Beginning in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. I wrote the wrong scripture down here. Well, there's a scripture along there somewhere that talks about it's going to be better than we have ever thought. And what we do understand, God has helped us to understand through His Spirit. And so God has some great things in store for us. Finally, in Revelation 21. In verse 3 of Revelation 21, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Won't be any crying anymore. There shall be no more death. We just went to a funeral this last week, Mr. Larry Fuller. There won't be any more of that. No more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The scripture that I was meant to turn to about it being better than we have is in 1 Corinthians 2. Beginning in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. It's going to be better than we have ever dreamed or thought or imagined. And God is going to work it out where there's no more death, no more crying, no more tears, for the former things have passed away. So in Elvis's song, If I Can Dream, Elvis dreams of a better world where all of his brothers walk hand in hand, where there's peace understanding, and hope that remove doubt and fear. Elvis's better world is not going to come to pass in our current world, but will come to pass in the world beyond today. In fact, it's going to be much better than we have thought or dreamed. Our dreams will come true.